dancing around the debt ceiling. The vote gets delayed again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. It was all supposed to come down to a vote yesterday on House Speaker John Boehner's debt reduction plan. But at the 11th hour, quite literally last night, the vote was postponed to today, even closer to the August 2nd deadline. Our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is here to talk with us. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Stacey.
Heidi, this is causing a lot of grief. Remind us again, why do we need a debt ceiling?
A lot of people are wondering that. You're not alone. It's really strange. All year, Congress decides to spend this money on this or that. It's like the way you might spend a day shopping at different stores. Then at the end of the year, the Treasury goes to Congress with the bill totaling everything up the way that you get a credit card bill. Then Treasury has to ask Congress to just sign the bill. And Congress says, oh no, we've spent too much. We can't possibly hand over all that money. But meanwhile, Congress spent the money already. So the approval should just be a formality, and it never is. I talked to Tony Fratto. He's a former Treasury official. He had to ask Congress to raise the debt ceiling 7 times. He said all 7 were pretty high on the ridiculousness scale.
There is no point to the debt ceiling. It is really pointless. I always thought it was the most bizarre thing. This was like in the Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone. Well, Heidi, I've heard that the president could potentially just bypass Congress and raise the debt ceiling by himself. Is that possible? Can he do that?
Oh, Stacey, if only it were that easy. The stakes are higher now. We need to raise the debt ceiling, yes, so we can pay people. But all this fuss has also highlighted what a terrible credit risk we are as a country. We borrow way too much. We make way too little. And Standard & Poor's said they'll downgrade us if we don't come up with a long-term plan to pay off the debt.
Heidi Moore here in New York. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Stacey.
So as we were just talking about, Congress is taking things right down to the wire. And that's a pretty familiar feeling for many of us. Cable bills, term papers, taxes. So is Congress just a bunch of procrastinators? Timothy Pitchell studies why we put things off at Carleton University in Ottawa. Good morning, Timothy.
That's my pleasure.
So as an expert in procrastination, what do you think of what's going on with the debt ceiling in Washington? Is this the same thing that used to go on when I would be putting off term papers in college?
I've been watching the discussion with a lot of interest because the term procrastination has been used a lot. And President Obama said that his girls get their work done a day early and kind of insinuated that what's going on in the House is procrastination in Congress. But I don't believe that it fits the definition of procrastination at all.
So what is going on and how is it different than procrastination?
Procrastination is always delay, but not all delay is procrastination. And in this case, what we have is people using delay strategically to make political points.
Both sides have said that we can't default on our debts. So is this potentially procrastination in that way or
doing something at the last minute when you plan on doing it at the last minute is not procrastination. But we like to think of procrastination as weakness of will. We know what the right thing to do is, but we delay doing it. And in this case, the debate is, so what's the right thing to do? And if I see any procrastination in this issue at all, it's not with the government right now, but it's the self-regulation failure we've seen that brought this debt crisis, right? Because procrastination is just one form of self-regulation failure. And the self-regulation failure here has always been to have more than I could actually afford.
Can this kind of delay ever be a productive thing in a negotiation? Is there ever anything good about a delay or about procrastinating?
There's lots of things good about delay. You know, we use delay all the time. Every day you and I will delay things in our lives as we strategize and optimize our schedules and prioritize. Procrastination is that one form of delay that is negative by definition. Delay has lots of use in negotiations like this. Procrastination doesn't. And I think we're all yelling, you're procrastinating because we can't stand the stress.
Timothy Pitchell is with the Department of Psychology at Carleton University in Ottawa. Timothy, thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
We may have sympathy for those who put things off to the last minute, but the markets are not such big fans. Asian markets fell this morning. European markets are down as well. Paris's CAC 40 is off 0.8%. Starbucks earnings got a jolt last quarter. Sales were up and profits jumped 34%, despite the coffee giant having to pay more for coffee and food. U.S. markets were mixed yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell to 12,240.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For a unique look at all of our Marketplace business and economic sustainability coverage, visit marketplace.org and click on the Sustainability tab.
Later today, Chevron will tell us how much money it made in the last 3 months. Big Oil has been raking in the cash this quarter. Still, with oil prices as high as they are, those profits were expected to be even higher. What's holding them back? Let's just say a lack of refinement. Bob Moon has more.
When it comes to putting enough crude together to actually make gasoline, the big oil companies have to play the market, too. Stephen Shork watches the industry at Energy Market Intelligence.
The refiners have to buy that oil, and they can't necessarily always transfer that high cost of crude oil into the retail market on a consistent basis.
That's because if the cost of gasoline goes too high and we buy less, the refiners can't recoup what they paid for the crude. At the industry consulting group EISA, Sander Cohan says it's a risky business.
What happens is that oftentimes when demand is not very strong is that they get caught in the middle, so they end up being not very profitable.
In recent weeks, several companies, including ConocoPhillips, Marathon, and Murphy, have decided the best way out of that frequent drag on their profits is to either spin off or unload their refining operations.
In separating these two businesses, what they're trying to do is free up capital to pursue what could be more lucrative crude drilling projects.
Analyst Stephen Shork puts it more directly. Oil companies would rather drill for steady profits because they see no let-up in demand for crude. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn is looking into selling ad space on the state's license plates as a way to raise money. Drivers who agreed could save $100 in plate fees. Forget the land of Lincoln, think Land O'Lakes. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
As China grows economically, the environment hasn't exactly been the first thing on developers' minds.
The pattern in China has been to develop land, not to protect it.
Now some of the country's richest entrepreneurs are changing that pattern. I'm Jeremy Hobson, China's first private nature preserve. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.